Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us today, as we are every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Glad to have you join us with Bible study and devotion. I will start off with song, scripture, and prayer. I'm going to have a song by Open My Heart. And following that, we'll have scripture by And we'll have scripture by Dr. Nux, and then I will offer prayer.
Open my heart.
Our text is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not see him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. The Lord adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen, amen. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Lord, you heard us to request to open our hearts. You heard our request, oh God, to understand and study your word. And so as we come before you, we ask that you would lead God and direct us in this Bible study. Lord, tonight we are examining the rapture. We are talking about things that are occurring in the end times. And as we do so, God, we want to make sure that we are understanding your will for our life, that we're understanding what it is that you desire from us. And so we are going to research these scriptures. And Lord, we're just asking that as we go through this, that you, God, would continue to be with us. It just seems as though sometimes when we're seeking your word and your face, we need to have the reassurance that we're covering things that are germane. This month, we've been trying to talk about things that are unique, such as Jesus' return, examining, Lord, if we're even prepared for Christ's return, understanding what is to be expected during the end times and dispensations, the timelines in which we're experiencing different things. And finally, tonight at least, asking what is the rapture and what does that look like as we examine Thessalonians. But Lord, we left last week asking the question of what does that look like today? Where are we today? What's happening in our world that would give us indication? And so as we go forward in the Bible study, we just ask that those things will be brought to mind. We're trusting you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I guess before we started, it would be a good thing to kind of get a roll call, see who we have on the line tonight. Understanding that there will be people who are not wanting to talk, and since this is a holiday, upcoming holiday is soon, there may not be that many people to join us tonight. So, Dr. Nux, I think at this time it's just you and I.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, as we go tonight, we're going to ask these questions about the rapture. Now, this is about eschatology. But we hear a lot of noise. Eschatology. Eschatology asks the question, what happens at the end of life and at the end of time? And Paul is talking to his congregation, and he's wanting them to not be fearful or frustrated about those people who have already died, and want to make sure that they understand that they won't miss out on the major event that's occurring, and that's the return of the Lord. So as we quickly kind of go through some of this, Dr. Nux, if you can help, if you could turn to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to start at the first verse and the third verse. Matter of fact, I think I'll just go ahead and read while I have it here. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. 1:3. And the third verse says that it talks off, I may as well start in the first verse. It says, Paul, together here with Silas and Timothy, send greetings to the church at Thessalonica, Christians assembled by God the Father and by the Master Jesus Christ. God's amazing grace be with you. God's robust peace. Every time we think of you, we thank God for you. Day and night, you're in our prayers as we call to mind your work of faith, your love of your labor of love and your patience of hope in following our Master, Jesus Christ, before God our Father. And he goes on to say, it is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, but also has put his hands on you for something special. When the message we preached came to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions. And he goes on to talk about the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And so in the end times, it's supposed to be 1 Thessalonians. Let me go back to 4:1. Let's see if that's the one. Okay, that's it. 4:1:3 says, one final word, friends. We ask you, urge is more like it, that you keep on doing what we told you to do to please God, not in a dogged religious plot, but in a living spirited dance. You know the guidelines we laid out from the Master, laid out for you from the Master. God wants you to live a pure life. Keep yourself from sexual promiscuity. And then down to verse 10, it says, regarding life together and getting along with each other, you don't need me to tell you what to do. You're God taught in these matters. Just love one another. You're already good at it. Your friends all over the province of Macedonia are the evidence. Keep it up. Get better and better at it. And let's look at Revelations. Revelation says, and this is really what this one was. 1:3 says, let me go back to the first chapter, starting the first verse. It says, a revealing of Jesus the Messiah. God gave it to make plain to his servant what is about to happen. He published and delivered it by angel to his servant John. And John told everything he saw, God's word, the witness of Jesus Christ. How blessed the reader, how blessed the hearer and keeper of these oracle words, all the words written in this book. Time is just about up. Now see, Dr. Nux, this is the warning right there. Time is just about up. And then in the ninth verse into the tenth, it says, I, John, with you all the way in the trial and the kingdom and the patience and the passion of patience in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of God's word. Now, this is God's word, the witness of Jesus. It was Sunday, and I was praying in the spirit, praying. I heard a loud voice behind me, trumpet clear and piercing, write what you see in a book. Send it to the seven churches in Ephesus. To Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. I turned and saw the voice. I saw a gold menorah with seven branches, and in the center the Son of Man in a robe and gold breastplate, hair a blizzard of white, eyes pouring fire blaze, both feet furnace fire bronze, his voice a cataract, right hand holding the seven stars, his mouth a sharp, bitter sword, his face a perigee sun. So we see that, and then I want to also, I'm just going to read a few texts right quick, Dr. Nook, so be patient with me for a minute.
Okay.
And then the 19th verse says, he's writing to Thyatira. He says, to the angel of the church, God's sons, eyes pouring fire blaze, standing on a feet of furnace fire bronze, says this, I see everything you're doing for me. Impressive. The love and the faith, the service and persistence. Yes, very impressive. You get better at it every day. And then the third chapter and the 13th verse, he says, are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, spirit blowing through the churches. So I think this is a time where they're being encouraged to pay attention to what's going on, to be reminded that now is a time, or the time he's referring to, where they need to pay attention and to be alert. And so when you talk about end times, what is it that Dr. Nooks, that you think about? You know, Paul says, you know, Paul talks about it, and he says in Mark, the 13th chapter. Can you turn there with me, Dr. Nooks? Mark, the 13th chapter, and starting at the 26th verse, and it's talking about, you know, what it is we need, you know, when Christ is returning. It says, and then they'll see the Son of Man enter in grand style, his arrival filling the sky. No one will miss it. He'll dispatch the angels. They will pull in the chosen from the four winds, from pole to pole. And if you would read Matthew 24:30-31. Matthew 24:30-31.
Yeah, I got it now. And then at last the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning among all the peoples of the earth. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet. They will gather his chosen ones from all over the earth, the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven.
Amen. And then in Acts 1, I'm starting at the 6th verse, it says, when they were together for the last time, they asked, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Is this the time? And he told them, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my witness in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the world. These were his last words. As they watched, he was taken up and disappeared in a cloud. They stood there staring into the empty sky. Suddenly, two men appeared in white robes. They said, you Galileans, why do you just stand here looking up at an empty sky? This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left. So we know from the word of God that God is going to return back just as mysteriously as he left. So what does that mean to you, Dr. Nooks?
It means that this, what we're living right now, is not the way things are going to be. Things are going to change. And because of that, our connection with God makes all the difference in the world as to how we should be living and what we should expect.
Mm-hmm. So we need to live ready.
Yes, and we need to live with hope. I think Christ makes it clear that we should not be without hope. But Paul makes it clear in 1 Thessalonians. But Christ is also trying to get people to understand that he's coming back. And the writers, you know, Matthew, Mark, and John, Paul, all refer to Christ coming back, and Jesus himself refers to it. And because if we know that we're a part of Christ and he's coming back and he's going to rapture, or the people that are part of Christ going to be caught to meet him in the air and be with him forever, it makes a difference as to how we should live. And, you know, if you don't have a hope in something beyond this life, and your life is not so great here, then it would bring about misery. I mean, if you have no hope. And I think that's where a lot of people are at, Dr. Susan. They don't really have any hope. Because they think that this is it.
And that's a sad thing.
Yes.
And that's a sad thing, isn't it? When we have people that don't have hope. And they, you know, they believe, like you said, if this life is all one has, the end in death produces grief. But the Bible tells us that, you know, we shouldn't grieve as those without hope, because as Christians, we shouldn't. And Jesus gave us an example in John 11, 35. I'll see if I can find it. But you know, grief is not the end. For us, grief is not the end. So John 11:35 says, Master, go ahead.
I was going to say 1 Corinthians 15.
I was just trying to give the example of when Mary and Martha were with Lazarus. And Mary came there and said, Master, if you'd only been with us, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Jesus saw her sobbing. And the Jews, there was this deep anger, says, welled up in him. And he says, Master, come and see. Then he wept as well. So when we know that Jesus wept and grieved, but he didn't grieve as if, like you said, Dr. Nooks, that there was no hope. And that's what we have. If we understand that Jesus also experienced grief, then we also know that grief is not the end. And if we believe that Jesus died, he was raised, then we can believe God will raise our loved ones and us as well. And then we might be asking the question, so how do we think that's going to occur? And the answer is through Jesus, with Jesus. That's how it's going to occur. You know, the scripture says in Thessalonians, the sleeping ones who believed in the death and the resurrection of Christ would be caught up into his eternal life. And so, like you were saying, 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 13, and Romans 8, 11. So would you read those, Dr.
Nick? No, I was going to read 1 Corinthians 15, 19. And it says,
okay, so would you start and read all of it? Would you read, just go on and read all of it, that whole section?
Where did you want it started at? Where do you want to start at?
Wherever you can see it. I don't have the scripture in front of me, so.
Okay.
The whole context.
Just a minute.
1 Corinthians 15. Let's see. Let's start.
Looks like it's about 12.
Okay. That sounds good. I'm reading it now. Yeah.
Just a minute. Just took me to the wrong thing here.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. It says, now let me ask you. Yeah, right there is good. Hello?
Now, if we preach that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you keep claiming there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, then our message means nothing, and your faith means nothing. In addition, we are found to be false witnesses about God because we testified on God's behalf that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. If in fact it is true that the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. Yes, even those who have died in Christ are lost. If we have set our hopes on Christ in this life only, we deserve more pity than any other people. And in some translations it says we are of all people most miserable. So
yeah.
That was the scripture I just wanted to point out in support of what you were saying, Dr. Susie. If we have hope in this life only in Christ Jesus, then we are of all people most miserable. So our hope
and,
is beyond
and,
this life.
Amen. And but how does that make you feel, Dr. Nux? Those of you know, as a believer, when we think about the things we just discussed, what's going to happen at the end times? Do we need to grieve without hope? And do some of us do that? And if we don't do that, you know, again, what again? If you could reiterate, is the reason why we don't, and the fact that you know. We need to live ready. We need to be ready.
Yes, we do. And we need to have hope. And we need to live our lives in such a way that we should be growing closer and closer to Christ. Scripture says, draw close to God and God will draw close to us. So Satan, I think, my listeners, my friends on the, you know, they're listening in. Satan tries to divide us, and Satan knows a whole lot about us and knows all the buttons to push. And when Satan can divide us, and also when he can get it to the point that people don't even believe that there's a Christ and don't believe that there's a resurrection of the dead, and they only think that what they have is here and now, then those that are not on the upper strata of our cultures and society, then they can tend to lose hope. And we see the evidence of that in many people taking drugs all across our country now. A lot of people don't have hope in communities, maybe where they don't have jobs or they've lost jobs or they don't have the money to buy things and a sense of hopelessness spreads across our country because there is a desire on Satan's part to take away our faith and our hope. And that's a way to control people. If you just think about mind control, people that try to do that, they take away any hope that people have. They make people feel like there's nothing that's going to help them, that's going to rescue them. Nothing's going to make them feel better. And when you do that, then you can control people's minds. And that's what Satan is doing to us, my sisters and brothers. He's controlling our minds and leading us away from God. and we need to resist it with all the strength that we have and all the prayer that we have. And we pray for the releasing of the minds of the people in our world.
And we can be confident, as Paul was confident, and he was confident because of the word of our Lord Jesus Christ that we read about, Dr. Nooks, in Mark 13:26-27 and Matthew 24:30-31, where it talks about the Son of Man returning in the clouds and angels gathering the elect. But one of the things I think we need to be cognizant of is, you know, as we're talking about end times, what are some of the things that will help us know the end times? And and I'm going to read I'm going to start at 2 Timothy at the 3rd chapter, the 2nd through the 5th verse. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 2nd through the 5th verse. It says, I'm going to start with the first verse. It says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead as the end approaches. People are going to be self-absorbed. Excuse me, Dr. Nooks, do you see self-absorbed anywhere? Do you see it
Amen.
In prominent places, prominent places?
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Money hungry.
My Lord.
Give me an amen
yes.
if you think these are happening right now. Self-promoting. Is anybody else on the line, Dr. Nook? Self-promoting. Stuck up. Profane. Contemptuous
yes.
appearance. Crude. Coarse.
Amen.
Doggy
amen.
Dog. Unbending.
My Lord.
Slanderous. Impulsively wild. Savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, well, addicted to lust,
My Lord.
Allergic to God, well, they make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Mm.
Amen.
My Lord. Allergic to God, my Lord. God,
it says,
wait a
minute, listen.
They break out in a rash.
That's
I
it.
Just,
that's
I just think
it.
About that. Yeah. Can't get too close to God.
But they are
allergic
the ones who will put God down and say negative things about God.
Amen. Amen.
You know? Trying to dissuade folk. And then it says these are the kind of people who smooth talk themselves into the homes of unstable and needy women and take advantage of them. Women who, depressed by their sinfulness, take up with every new religious fad that calls itself truth.
Come on.
So, but it's clear, it says, they reject the faith. Twisted in their thinking, define truth itself, but nothing will come of these latest imposters. Everyone will see through them. So, you know, that's kind
Absolutely.
Of what
I
asked, you know.
I wanted to talk about one of those verses, verse 5 there, where it says, they will hold to an outward form of godliness, but deny its power. And I see that so prevalent in our church. Our churches act like they have no power. And,
yeah.
and there's something wrong with that because Jesus in Acts 1 tells them that after the Holy Ghost comes upon them that they would have power. So
we
act like
power.
We have no
mm-hmm.
power. We act like we can't do anything. We don't have the ability to do anything. We just act like we're so sad and pitiful and, you know, and when the Holy Ghost came upon them, Jesus said, you will have power. And and we go to church services Sunday after Sunday. We have a form of godliness. We have rituals. We sing our songs and sing to each other and preach to each other. And the people that need to hear the message and to see love demonstrated are outside of the walls of the church. And when we get outside of the walls of the church, we don't even act like we know God. You know, if we walk into Satan's world then, and then it's like we feel like we have to put God, like they used to say, put God on a shelf. And we feel like we can act any old kind of way to fit in with the world. And God is saying, I want you to fit in with me, not like the world, but like me. And Satan just plays a game with us, with our minds. But this form of godliness and denying its power is so significant as to what's going on in the church today. And Brother Brett and Dr. Susie, I'm sure you all have examples of where we have a form of godliness, but we don't have the power that we should as the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Brett, do you see these things that we're talking about
tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see it more and more. And also, I was that way one time. And then I met somebody named Dr. Susie, and she pointed out some things to me, which renewed my faith in myself and that God had forgiven me about some things. So,
my Lord.
I know how this works, but the thing is that I've come to believe that before the church can fix anything, we got to fix the family. See, Satan has come against the family. It has divided mothers and fathers, sisters, brothers. And the thing is, until we get the family unit back together again, then the God unit is not going to take a foothold in that family.
Well, the Bible tells us that that time is coming, though, Brother Brett. The Bible tells us that there will be a time when there's mother against daughter. So that's a part of the last days.
Amen.
I understand that. But also, the thing is that we have powers to be out here right now that are dividing us even further. When a person loses all hope in themselves, how can they help anybody else? How can they love anybody else? How can they be what your mothers and fathers wanted you to be if you don't have any self-hope? If you are destroying yourself.
That's the issue, though, Brother Brett. We got to get the focus off of self and onto the Lord.
I understand that.
It's not about us. And when we start to trust God more and start to keep our eyes focused on the Lord instead of on our issues, then we understand that it's God who's greater and bigger.
Amen.
Than our issue and situation.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, I listen to people that are supposed to, quote unquote, be love gurus and know how to help a woman find a man or whatever. The thing is, in all of this, I never hear anything about their spiritual base, to base a relationship on. Oh, it's all about what a man will do and what a woman will do. But when it comes to getting those two together, what kind of foundation is a relationship going to be built on? I don't hear anything about God in any of this. And even on Facebook, with people that are my friends and relatives and stuff, they talk about stuff, but they don't have a base. There's nothing concrete to anchor the question that they're asking. And so, but yet still they want you to say amen when you see a picture of somebody hooked up to tubes and stuff. They say amen to help this person. Help them what? What's wrong with the person? Do you know? Amen is the end. It's like the end of the movie when it says B-T-H-E-E-N-D. That's what amen means in the spiritual realm. So So we need to be able to pray specifically for these people.
So when we're talking about the end times, we're talking about those things that involve the end times.
Right.
So we're going to look at 2 Timothy 4:1-5. It says, I can't impress this on you too strongly. God is looking over your shoulder. Christ himself is the judge. With the final say on everyone, living and dead, he is about to break into the open with his rule. So proclaim the message. With intensity, keep on your watch. Challenge, warn, urge your people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. You're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching. Come on, somebody. But we'll fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. Now, I'm going to finish this, but I got something to say. It says, but you keep your eyes on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive and do a thorough job as God's servant. Now,
Amen.
You know, I don't know how many times you'll find that folks go from one church to another church to another church to another church. And then if they don't like what this preacher's saying, they go to one they do. And then when that preacher starts to say something they don't like, then they leave that church. So
We
got folks that will church hop and go where they want, where, as long as it ain't saying nothing to challenge me. The moment you start challenging me, I mean, I've had people say that at the VA. Well, you know, we didn't used to do it that way or say it that way. So because it ain't what I want, I'm going to go somewhere else. You saying stuff,
hear that.
You know, I don't want to hear. I don't want you challenging me.
My Lord.
So that's the reality, is that we're faced with situations where the word of God is not desired. They don't want to hear it.
Amen.
I had a lady tell me that she got upset with me because she said, I preach too much Bible. I was like, Lord have mercy. I preach too much Bible. She was upset because my illustrations were some from the Bible. So it's people who don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to be challenged by the word.
Amen.
So we need to understand.
They
want to
be entertained. Entertained, Dr. Scusi.
That's right.
They want somebody put on a show for them. They want somebody to praise the answers.
But that's not
they want
Christian either.
Yeah, they want somebody to sing the songs they want to hear, preach the sermons they want to hear, say it the way they want them to say it, make them laugh. Have a few jokes in there. Put on be a little entertainer for them. And that's not what God is really desiring of us.
Amen.
That's what a lot of people want.
You said
Ephesians
4. Variety show, huh?
Yeah, Ephesians.
Go ahead.
Ephesians 4, 14-15 says, no prolonged emphases among us, please. Will not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and tell it in love like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us, that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. So we don't have a reason to be afraid, even though the end times are coming, even though we know that we're experiencing those things that are happening, and it's going to get even more challenging than this. And, you know, Dr. Nux, what's that scripture? I don't know if it's Isaiah, the scripture that says that when it starts on you'll be on the housetop, don't go down. What's I don't remember this text that one, but it warns us that these things are going to happen and it's going to get worse. We're going to be dealing with some stuff, and we need to know who we are and whose we are. And as long as we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again, as long as we understand that Christ rose and that we believe that he, that we too will rise with him and we have that relationship with him, then we can also expect to be a part of the resurrection, that we can believe that we too will be resurrected with Christ. So so we don't have a reason to be afraid, right? And the proof is, if we look at the text, do you remember Genesis 47:27? Anybody remember that? When we had to read about that in Genesis, I'm reading this record, Genesis 47:27 says, "And so Israel settled down into the Egypt in the region of Goshen." Now, this is Israel in Egypt, right? In Goshen. That's where they settled. And it says they acquired property and forests that became a large company of people. Jacob lived in Egypt for 17 years in all. He lived 147 years. So the Israelites were in Goshen. So when we look at that, and we can go to Exodus, the 8th chapter, and look at what happened. When God said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh," as he goes down to the water, tell him God's message, "Release my people so they can worship me. If you don't release my people, I'll release swarms of flies on you, your servants, your people, your homes, the house of the Egyptians, and even the ground under their feet will be thick with flies. But when it happens, I'll set Goshen." Now, where's Goshen? Where the Israelites are, right? "I'll set Goshen, where my people live, aside as a sanctuary. No flies in Goshen." So what does that say God is doing for God's own?
Protecting them.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, he's preparing
the Israelites lived in Goshen, if the Israelites lived in Goshen, the point is we don't have to worry in the end times or any other time. God has already proven to us that God is going to take care of us, whether it's flies that are biting us or anything else. If we but trust in him, then whether it's a swarm of flies or whatever, God has got our back, as is showed here in the text. Nothing happened to the children of Israel. When it came to their firstborn, did their firstborn die? Nothing happened to the children of Israel. Why? Because they were protected. So as we look at the end times and knowing that we are going to come upon some hard things that are going to happen, it's going to be some challenging things that we will come up against, then we got to understand that the word of the Lord is clear for us. And it says to us that we need to understand that when God comes back, Dr. Nooks, read that Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 again. When God comes back, what does it say? Do you have it? Or you turn?
I gotta get it. I have time to get it.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay.
First line, turn. I got it already.
Okay.
You have it.
I got it.
All it was saying is.
You want me to read it, or you can read it.
In the message, it says, "And regarding the question, friends, that has come up about what happens to those already dead and buried, we don't want you in the dark any longer. First off, you must not carry on over them like people who have nothing to look forward to, as if the grave were the last word. Since Jesus died and broke loose from the grave, come on, y'all, God will most certainly bring back to life those who died in Jesus. And then this,
amen,
we can tell you with complete confidence, we have the Master's word on it, that when the Master comes again to get us, those of us who are still alive will not get a jump on the dead and leave them behind. In actual fact, they'll be ahead of us. The Master himself will give a command. Archangel, thunder, God's trumpet blast. He'll come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise. They'll go first. Then the rest of us who are still alive at the time will be caught up with them into the clouds to meet the Master. Oh, and we'll be walking on air. Hallelujah. And there will be one huge family reunion with the Master. So reassure one another with these words." So So he's telling the Thessalonians regarding those people who had gone on, you ain't got to worry about it. We are going to be together. They won't have missed out on this. The return of Jesus, those who have died will be there first. And then those of us who are alive will meet them in the air. And so that's what I want us to end with tonight. I want us to understand that the rapture, meaning being snatched away into something good, out of something bad, we will meet the Lord in the air, and we will protected. And there's things we need to understand. That one, no one will be left behind. Two, Paul was writing to encourage the readers, and we need to be encouraged. And then lastly, those who meet the Lord will dwell with him forever. Forever. That's heaven. Not being separated from God. Always being with the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what we have to look forward to. So as we go tonight, as we close, Dr. Nooks, would you offer a prayer and extend a call to discipleship and relationship with Jesus Christ? Thank you, Brett. So glad that you could join us. And you guys, before we leave, I just want to tell everybody to have a happy Thanksgiving. But understanding that we are not just to give thanks. Giving thanks is like for the turkey. But giving thanksgiving is to God. God is the reason for Thanksgiving. God is the reason for us gathering to celebrate. And when we can move from Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving, then we will truly have understood what this holiday is about, what this time with God is for, and why we celebrate and lift up the name of the Lord that we serve.
Amen.
Well, God, we come to you tonight. We're grateful for your love, and we are thankful for what we have with you. And God, we need know that we should be walking in victory. But help us, God, when we forget and we walk as victims rather than in victory. Help us, God, to understand your love and what you have provided for us. And realize that we are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, but we're your people. And God, there may be someone on the line tonight and someone may be listening in, and you want to be a part of God. You want to give your life to God and to Christ tonight. You want Christ to be your Savior. And we invite you to do so by praying. God, I realize I've messed up. I've sinned. And I right now I want to be saved. I want you to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. I give my life to you right now. God, I want to be a part of you. I know you love me and Christ rose from the dead. And because he rose, if I believe in him, I have everlasting life. And I want to just confess my belief in Christ today and invite Christ into my life. And if you pray that with me, then you're saved tonight and rejoice. And we rejoice with you. Angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. And God, we ask that you would help us to understand how much you love us tonight, that you prepared a way for us to be with you. And all, and a part of that is Christ's return. And God, help us to focus on eternal life and not on this life that is limited, but God, forever. And God, we pray that our hearts and our minds can be turned, and you help us to see the deceptions of Satan. Lord. And help us to keep leaning on you, God, because Satan is trying to tear us down and you're trying to lift us up.
Yes.
God, we pray a special prayer for the church. We pray for revival in the church. We pray for eyes to be opened, and for us not to have a form of godliness and denying your power, but to walk in your power, walk in victory, walk as your children. And God, our attitudes ought to be different, because we ought to be happy in whatever we go through in life, realizing we are your children. So give us the joy that we sometimes miss out on. And God, help us to reflect your love to people, that they might they might see us and see our example, and they might want to come running saying, what must I do to be saved? Thank you for Dr. Susie, who is our leader.
Yes.
You are the strength and the comfort that she needs. And we're going to continue to praise you for all that you are, all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Outro. The outro. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Amen. So now hit end episode.
Get out of the studio.
How do I get out of the studio?
I forgot because you can't do it. Hit end episode. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get it later.
Okay. And then are you sure you want to end this episode and just hit end episode again? Okay.
Yes.